Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, December 13, 2018. The Trump administration challenges South Sudanese leaders to do more.
We will not provide loans or more American resources to a South Sudanese government led by the same morally bankrupt leaders who perpetuate the horrific violence and immense human suffering in South Sudan.
And University of Juba suspends an outspoken lecturer.
What Professor Cake did is a wrong procedure, is a bullying attitude, and it is a dictatorial tendency to really discourage the lecturers from the national duty that they have been doing in the university.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United States is revisiting its funding policy towards South Sudan, according to Ambassador John Bolton, assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, during a speech on the U.S. new strategy on Africa today at the Heritage Foundation. Bolton said the U.S. has spent billions on Africa, including almost $3.8 billion on South Sudan, and said that aid has not achieved the desired effects.
The United States is now reviewing its assistance to South Sudan to ensure that our aid does not prolong the conflict or facilitate predatory behavior. We will not provide loans or more American resources to a South Sudanese government led by the same morally bankrupt leaders who perpetuate the horrific violence and immense human suffering in South Sudan.
From now on, Bolton said, the United States will not tolerate the long-standing pattern of aid without effect, assistance without accountability, and relief without reform. Under the new approach, Bolton says, policy decisions will address three core U.S. interest areas on the continent: trade and commercial ties that are mutually beneficial to the U.S. and Africa, countering terrorism and ensuring tax dollars are used effectively.
Countries that receive U.S. assistance must invest in health and education, encourage accountable and transparent governments, support fiscal transparency, and promote the rule of law.
Bolton adds the U.S. is also taking a closer look at the allegations of peacekeeping abuse across the continent and will no longer provide assistance to UN peacekeeping missions that are what he calls unproductive, unsuccessful, and unaccountable.
We will only back effective and efficient operations that we will seek to streamline, reconfigure, or terminate missions that are unable to meet their own mandate or facilitate lasting peace. Our objective is to resolve conflicts, not freeze them in perpetuity. And we will not provide legitimacy to missions that give large payouts to countries sending poorly equipped soldiers who provide insufficient protection to vulnerable populations on the ground. The sexual exploitation and abuse by UN peacekeepers of the very populations that they were sent to protect has been and remains completely unacceptable.
Bolton also blamed the UN Security Council for slow progress in Africa.
I'm not blaming the UN Secretariat here. I'm blaming the Security Council.
Yeah.
Security Council sets the peacekeeping forces up. Security Council should guide the special representatives. The Security Council should press to get the conflict resolved. And it's not enough just to roll a peacekeeping mandate over. They need to be much more involved politically in getting the parties to work out their differences.
Bolton says it's time for African governments to take the lead, adding the U.S. is keen on encouraging and supporting those governments under the right circumstances. The German government says it will continue to wait and see what happens in South Sudan before it provides more assistance to the government. German's ambassador to South Sudan says his government wants to see a higher degree of transparency and accountability and access to remote areas for aid agencies in the country before donating more money. Wakie Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Germany is among many Western countries that have donated money to South Sudan. But this year, Germany has scaled down its aid donations for humanitarian and development projects in South Sudan by 20% due to what it calls a lack of capacity and to ensure effective use of German aid. In an exclusive interview with VOA on Wednesday, Germany Ambassador Jan-Hendrik Fantier said his government would want to see South Sudan government fix loopholes in its governance system.
What we look for is, of course, a little bit the environment in which we move for development cooperation. We need a responsible government which has a large degree of financial transparency and accountability, and which is engaging itself in development activity.
Germany has donated $165 million in humanitarian aid and to projects dealing with water hygiene, agriculture, and governance. This year, Ambassador Fantier says that amount has been reduced by 20% compared to last year. The U.S. and the U.K. remain the biggest humanitarian donors to South Sudan. Fantier says Germany's reduction in donor money makes it South Sudan's third biggest donor. It was South Sudan's second biggest donor in the past. Fantier says despite promises from the government and opposition, aid agencies are still facing resistance when it comes to accessing needy populations across South Sudan.
We need the agencies, the NGOs, to go to the field. They are still encountering access problems. They are still encountering a lot of administrative impediments, and they are encountering real physical danger. This country is, in terms of physical endangerment of humanitarian workers, number one in the world. And that, of course, is not good.
Ambassador Fantier says these kinds of challenges discourage donors from helping needy families in South Sudan.
So now if peace comes, we expect that these conditions are improved. We expect that all the agencies are following what the president is saying, that all the ministers are following what the president is saying, and that the framework, we really need a framework for humanitarian assistance in the country which is stabilized, reliable, predictable, you know, not this kind of every day a new regulation or a new tax or a new fee coming up and making all our calculations and the calculation of the agencies shaky or impossible even.
Fantier says more work is needed to implement the peace deal signed in Addis Ababa in September by the South Sudan warring parties. He says all parties need to show the political will to tackle the obstacles on the road to peace.
We have seen a certain level of commitment. I don't think there's yet enough trust and confidence among the parties and also among the parties and outsiders like us. So we need to build on all sides. We need to be trust. We must make things happen. We must create reality, you know, to the words reality. And my humble advice would be, let's try to find a step-by-step realistic way to move together forward.
Germany helps fund the activities of the Revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, the body that monitors implementation of the peace agreement. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
The governor of Buma State, David Yaoyao, has returned three children and handed over 40 heads of cattle raided in September this year to Jonglei State officials in Bor. Jonglei State Governor Philip Aguer welcomed the move by Buma State authorities. Dengai Deng has the story for VOA from Bor.
Buma State Governor David Yaoyao returned three boys between the ages of 5 and 7, along with dozens of stolen cows, to Jonglei State authorities on Wednesday.
And today before us are 40 cows that we have brought from Buma State through roads. And of course, we are here to hand them over to His Excellency Philip Aguer so that he find out who are the owners of these right cows. Honorable Philip, here are your cows. About the children, well, it is through chiefs, it is through commissioner, it is through hard search, then finally we managed to get them.
Yao Yao says three of his soldiers were killed by armed civilians in Boma State while searching for the stolen cows last month. Jonglei Governor Pilivagwir praised Yao Yao for fighting crime in Boma State.
The 40 cows brought by His Excellency David Yao Yao, the governor of Boma State, shows not only the seriousness but the effectiveness of the administration. Because in the past, criminals used to be apprehended. But after the war and situation have been loose because of the arms in the hands of the civilian, it has been very difficult. But now David, the governor of Boma, have committed himself to the extent that he lost three of his soldiers in the fight to gain cattle back from the criminal.
Agwiri says the children which Yao Yao rescued are not from Jonglei.
These three children are from Equatoria, but it will go through the identification. We need UNICEF to help us making the process easy and affordable for the families to get these children, because these children will have to go to Juba, and from Juba, the process will continue until they are unified with their families.
Devora Chine, head of the UNMISS field office in Greater Jonglei, says officials in Boma and Jonglei states are working to reconcile the various communities in both states.
I'm very pleased to see the road being used and the opening of the road today, which for us at UNMISS is a symbol of peace and the connection of communities. With roads connect communities, and this will help to build peace. And we're very pleased to be here today and also see the handing over of the cows, which shows that the leaders are serious about the implementation of peace in Greater Jonglei.
More than 70 delegates that included political leaders, chiefs, youth, and women from Bor and Boma gathered in Bor for a five-day peace conference in an attempt to reconcile the Murile and Dinka communities. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, children learn a skill at school that helps their families at home. Find out more when we come back.
Speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite meal?
I like chips and anything braai, whether chicken or beef.
My favorite meal is our fish, mainly jambo, and local vegetables like nkwani.
I love chapati. Like, I don't know why I love chapati, but I just love chapati. There's no reason for loving it. Like, chapati every day.
My favorite meal is jollof and rice with chicken. That will be best for me.
My favorite food, matoke, that is banana and beans. Banana and beans, yes.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Some secondary school students in Juba are putting into practice the knowledge they have gained in chemistry to produce their own soap for washing their clothes. Teachers at Juba's Promised Land Secondary School say they encourage students to make soap so they no longer have to buy it in the market. Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
The laboratory at Promised Land Secondary School in Juba is packed with students who are listening to instructions on how to make soap from their chemistry teacher. All the materials used for making the soap are lined up in a row of small buckets before a group of students. Teacher Peter Ding takes the students through the process of making a soap.
Just begin by putting some amount of water, some small amount in a bucket, then You can try to put in your normal salt, then you try to dissolve it slowly, maybe for 15 minutes. Now, when the salt has dissolved, then you can add the coconut oil. Then you try to stir such that it also dissolves. Then after that, you can add the caustic potash, which is sodium hydroxide. After adding the caustic potash, then now you can put in your preservative, the perfume, and also the color. If you want your soap to look maybe blue or yellow, any color that you like.
The students followed instructions and made 20 liters of liquid soap after 30 minutes. Many students now say they can teach others how to make a soap. Senior forest student Kui Garang says she is excited to be able to make good quality soap for her family.
When I was at home, I used the soap, but I didn't know how to make it. But by the time I went there, I learned how to make it. I felt so happy because I used something which I didn't know how to make it. By the time I made it, I even produced the one which is more nicer than the one I used before. It has so very good smell, and the one I used wasn't all that perfect.
The soap can be used for washing utensils, mopping the floor, and doing the laundry. Adiu Aguto, who lives near the school, says the free liquid soap sample given to her by the students does a good job of cleaning her laundry.
This is a very good soap. It cleanses clothes very well and smells nice. I've used it to wash my utensils and also to wash my clothes. I find that it is even better than the one in the market because that one in the market is full of water and this one is not.
Abraham Jokthon, director of Promise Land Secondary School, says he wants to equip his students with skills that can help them be self-reliant. He says the school used $100 to buy the soap ingredients from Uganda.
What we need as a nation, we need productive citizens. And when we have more entrepreneurs in the country, then the economy of the country will definitely improve. And the youth will be independent. And this will also take them away from involving in conflict because they will be business-minded people and they will participate less in the politics. And because when we give these students necessary skills, they will help their families and the nation at large.
Jock, who visited the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C. this year, as part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, says someone he met at a U.S. event gave him the idea of introducing a soap factory in the school. He says the school is lobbying for funding to help students produce more soap to sell in markets in Juba Town. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
Juba University has suspended a senior lecturer at the School of Public Service for allegedly disagreeing with the vice chancellor on social media. Agostino Ting Mayai, who also works as a senior policy analyst at the SAD Institute, has denied discussing issues related to the University of Juba and South Sudan's higher education on social media. Winnie Chirino has more for VOA from Juba.
Agostino Ting Mayai, assistant professor at the University of Juba School of Public Service, says he had personal discussions with the vice-chancellor as an individual citizen. Mayai accuses Juba University vice-chancellor Professor Jonah Ketch of abusing his powers as vice-chancellor.
These are not necessarily policies. They are more of opinions related to what could be done in our educational sector. So he was talking about the failure that he had had as a result of being a vice-chancellor of the University of Northern Bahr Ghazal and was saying that he was apologizing to the population for not having delivered that university, but also citing the failure of two other leaders, the former Minister of Higher Education, Peter Adugnyaba, and the former governor of Northern Bahr Ghazal, Paul Malone. My intervention was that he did not fail because it was the system that failed the people.
Mayai says Professor Adwok was right to limit the resources at three universities because that is how quality is maintained. Mayai accuses Akech of advocating for what he terms the mystification of education in South Sudan.
The opinion is this. So he's pushing for what's called massification of education in South Sudan. What this means is that we have to create universities for every household in the country. My pushback was that that's going to ruin our quality. We have low quality already, that we really need to step back and reduce the number of students we admit and reduce the number of universities and invest in technical colleges. And that way we would have a strong workforce in the technical arena and also have quality liberal arts education being provided at the university level. And he didn't like that.
Dr. James Okuk, former lecturer at the University of Juba, Department of Political Science, says he quit lecturing at the university because he was not happy with the way the vice-chancellor managed the affairs of the university. He says Professor Ketch should reverse the suspension order and disband the investigation committee and allow Mayai to continue teaching at the university.
What Professor Ketch did is a wrong procedure, is a bullying attitude, and it is a dictatorial tendency to really discourage the lecturers from the national duty that they have been doing in the university. It tells you he is insensitive about the sacrifice that those professors, those lecturers have been offering to keep the university running despite the financial difficulties that they have been undergoing.
Okuk calls Akechi's letter of suspension totally uncalled for because he says discussing education is part of academics. South Sudan in Focus contacted Professor John Akech for comment, but he declined, saying, quote, "These are university's internal matters." Joseph is a master's student at the School of Public Service who prefers to use his first name for fear of reprisals from the university authorities. He says students will write exams for one of Mayai's courses on Monday. Joseph says it is very demoralizing to hear of the suspension, especially as students are preparing to take exams.
Actually, it is a surprise for me, and I was not aware that Agostino has been suspended. Actually, he has been a committed professor in the School of Public Service, and we will be missing him because he's one of the most educated person in the institution.
The university wrote a suspension letter addressed to Mayai for disrespecting the authority of the university and for having another job at the Sud Institute. Okuk says having two jobs shouldn't be an excuse for suspending Mayai.
What does the University of Juba pay the lecturers? Something below $50 a month. Can you call it a salary of somebody who has really graduated in world-class university? This is a big joke. And even to say that suspended without a salary, you laugh. And you think that some people are really insensitive of the situation the lecturers are going through.
Johnson, another master student at the School of Public Service who prefers to use his first name only for fear of reprisals, says he wonders who will grade students taking exams next week.
Professor Agustino is a good researcher. We are all benefiting because his lectures are always based at the international perspective. For example, the course that he's taking is actually difficult. It's one of the difficult courses that we have here in this university. And if he is dismissing, then we will not have a professor who will take that position. Even now we are worried because he already gave us some of the coursework, some assignment, exam, tests or like thesis. But now we don't know who is going to give us his exam.
The University of Juba is one of the country's first universities established in 1975 and admitted its first batch of students in 1977. For VOA News, I am Wen Sereno in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The U.S. today unveiled its new funding policy towards Africa, including South Sudan. Ambassador John Bolton, assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, outlined that policy in a speech at the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank in the U.S. Bolton said the U.S. has spent billions of dollars on Africa, including almost $3.8 billion on South Sudan alone. But he said that aid has not achieved the desired effects. He added that the United States is now reviewing its assistance to South Sudan to ensure that what he called our aid does not prolong the conflict or facilitate predatory behavior. He said the U.S. will, quote, not provide loans or more American resources to a South Sudanese government led by the same morally bankrupt leaders who perpetuate the horrific violence and immense human suffering in South Sudan, end quote. From now on, Bolton added, the U.S. will not tolerate the longstanding pattern of aid without effect, assistance without accountability, and relief. The German government says it will continue its wait-and-see approach in South Sudan before it increases any aid to the government. Germany's ambassador to South Sudan says his government wants to see a degree of transparency and accountability and access to remote areas for aid agencies that are working in the country before it donates more money. Germany is among many Western countries that have donated money to South Sudan, but this year the country has scaled down its aid donations for humanitarian and development projects in South Sudan by some 20%. Due to what it calls a lack of capacity and to ensure effective use of German aid. In an exclusive interview with VOA this week, German Ambassador Jan Hendrik van Thiel said his government would want to see South Sudan's government fix loopholes in its governance system. Van Thiel said, we need a responsible government which has a large degree of financial transparency and accountability and which is engaging itself in development activities. And finally, the governor of Boma State, David Yaoyao, has returned 3 children and over 40 head of cattle that were raided in September to Jonglei State officials in Bor today. Jonglei State Governor Philip Aguirre welcomed the move. David Yaoyao returned the 3 children, who are all boys aged between 5 and 7, along with dozens of stolen cows, to Jonglei State authorities. Yaoyao says 3 of his soldiers were killed by armed civilians in Boma State while searching for the stolen cattle last month. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Vende.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song The Best of Me by Anthony Hamilton.
It's simple, I love it, having you near me, having you here. Our conversations, outrageous, you smile, and I smile, then I say, ooh, this is getting personal, 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 let's stay for a while. And play, girl, let's make this a moment. Oh,
giving you the best of me, amazing,
amazing,
amazing.
Oh,
having you close to me, amazing, outrageous.
Oh.
Give your best to me.
Oh.
Good morning. Here's breakfast, lost track of time, but we had a ball. Let's catch a movie, a movie.
Then dinner, tonight's the night, we'll just unwind and stay.
We've been listening to Anthony Hamilton with the song The Best of Me. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Such a beautiful moment. Oh, oh, oh.
Giving you the best of me.
Ooh,
amazing.
Close to me,
amazing,
amazing,
outrageous,
yeah.
best to me.
Amazing.
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 Ooh.
Having you close to me.